Second Peter chapter 1, we're looking at partaking of the divine nature. Boy, what a privilege, you know it? To be able to partake of the divine nature. That is wonderful. Second Peter 1, 3 through 11. I read this recently in a Christian magazine. The older I grow, the more I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I don't want to become unfruitful in my life, so I must constantly return to the work of Christ for me on the cross. And that's exactly right. You want to go back to the foundation of your faith, and that's the cross. It's the cross where the Lord paid the price for our sins, set us free, redeemed us, paid the price, set us free. And he is fully redeeming us as we go along, and we will see one day that we'll stand in heaven perfect, flawless, and so we might as well be faithful today. On our Wednesday night meditations, we have done several of them, and tonight we're going to have another meditation. And what do I mean by meditation? I mean, I want you to take these concluding sentences and think about them all day long tomorrow. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Think about this truth all day long tomorrow. So he says again, the older I grow, the more I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I don't want to be unfruitful in my life, so I must constantly return to the work of Christ for me on the cross. To be unfruitful means to allow God to effectively use you day by day in the lives of others in whom you come in contact. It means to bear the fruit of Christ's likeness. It means being transformed into his likeness. It means partaking of his divine nature. Notice the promise here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. That's a virtuous transformation. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. A recent quote concerning a reflection on the past. Have you ever sat down and thought over the years you've already lived? You ever done that? Okay. So one man does that, and he writes this. You will find that the happiest times of your life were when you were displaying the love of God in serving someone else. Isn't that interesting? We are so forgetful of ourselves because we're wrapped up in others that we don't have time for musing when we lose. Be careful how you muse, how you think, when you lose. You think you lost in some way? Be careful about that. And if you'll just sit down and think about the times when you're the happiest in your life, it was when you were displaying the love of God and serving someone else. Let's read 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So what are we called to? Two things there. Tell me what they are. Glory and virtue. Okay. We'll look in to see what that is in just a minute. In case you're wondering where you're heading, where God wants you to go, that's the two things he categorizes where he wants us to go. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Whose nature is that? That's the nature of Christ. He is divine. He is God. The negative. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can anybody say amen there? Amen. Wow. No longer a slave to our lust. We are mastered by Christ when we trust him. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we want to enter into the glory of heaven fully confident in God as we go. Isn't that great? Glory and virtue. So let's look at some of these words here and define them. We are called to the glory and virtue of Christ. Glory is that unique position that God has as God and cannot give away to another. I cannot give my glory to another because another's not God. He's God. No one shares the glory of God in the sense of being God. Satan tried to tempt Adam and Eve. You can be as God. That means you would share glory as becoming a God. And that's a lie. No one can be God in that sense. We grow in his likeness, his character of Christ, but we don't replace him, or are we ever going to be equal to him? That would be blasphemy. Okay? We're commanded to glory in the Lord with the gifts that he has given us. We are not to seek glory apart from him, but always in relation to God in Christ. To glorify God means to give God the honor, respect, and reverence due his name. Virtue means excellence of character, moral uprightness, integrity, verity, which means true or truth, purity, holiness, and perfection. Say, wow, that seems like a long ways away. No, we can apply that every day. We can apply it every day. Why? Because Christ indwells us. And all these things are true of him in their fullest measure. And they're that way all the time. Isn't that good news? It is. Notice we are called to these things. We are privileged to have the opportunity to experience these things in the fullest degree. There's a privilege, there's an opportunity. If you have a privilege, you also have what? Anybody remember? You have a responsibility. Every privilege has its corresponding responsibility. Anybody remember the illustrations I gave of privilege and responsibility? Just give me one. If you have a license, if you're given the privilege of having a driver's license, you have a responsibility to drive somewhat normally, right? Safely, okay? If you're given the privilege of a gun, I remember using that one. Should you use it responsibly? Yes, you should. Do you believe in the right to bear arms? Pass along. Where's that in your notes? It's not in my notes, but yes, I do. I would rather protect my wife and kids than someone kill them. Wouldn't you, guys? Okay, so if we have, does that mean if you have a gun, you just go shoot, you got an attitude one day, you don't feel you just go around shooting people? That would not be using your privilege responsibly, right? Yeah. So just because some don't use their privilege in a responsible fashion, does that mean that your rights should be taken away? Answer, no, it should not. Okay. So life and godliness, all these things pertaining to life and to godliness. Life is eternal life. All sinners are called to be saved, but not all obey that calling. Are you aware of that? Some people say no to the gospel. We're commanded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen to you? You will be saved. Believers receive the life in Christ the very moment we trusted in Christ as the Son of God and our Savior from sin. We got eternal life when that happened, because he that hath the Son has life. Okay. So everything that pertains to life, and then godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is growing into the likeness of God's nature. It is being a partaker or sharing in God's holy nature. Christ's earthly life was the fullness of God's nature on display in our example to follow. That's where you see it. If you want to know what it's like to be partaken of the divine nature as a human, look to Jesus Christ. He always related life to the Father, God as his Father. Okay? We are to be serious about, be dedicated to, make every effort to move toward the completion of a perfect likeness to Christ. That's God's calling. Our faith in God is to grow. These things take place in our heart as we regularly commune with God. And here they are. We read them, and I'm just going to bring them out on the line instead of adding this to that and that one. It's a little hard to get a hold of when you repeat the word over and over again, you know. So we'll just look at them individually. Virtue is excellence in character. As you relate life to God the Father through Jesus Christ, you will be forming an excellence in your character. Excellence. What's God's standard? Excellence. He wants excellence. Knowledge. Okay, how am I going to get there? A remembrance of what God has done for me through Christ. I need to be asking that question all the time. What has God actually done for me through Jesus Christ? That's a good question to ask. And you read every book, you need to be asking, what has God done through me through Jesus Christ? That's why I have that book in the Bible, to find out something about what God the Father has done through his Son for me. Okay? For instance, Ruth. We just started studying that. Now, if you haven't read the book of Ruth, try to read it 5 times while I'm gone. Won't be here Sunday, but I'll be here next Sunday. And we did the introduction. If you haven't, John, can you make some copies of that introduction, by the way, of Ruth, if possible? About 10 of them or so. And if you didn't get the Ruth introduction, the overall survey of the book first, I would listen to that before we get into verse by verse on Sunday, okay? So the following Sunday, I'll be starting up there again, if the Lord so wills. What has God done for me through Christ? Well, he came close to me as a relative when he became in humanity. Therefore, he is my kinsman redeemer. He takes me right where I'm at, draws me to myself, and gives me an inheritance. And he's close to me because he became man. Kinsman redeemer. We don't even have a clue about these things in our culture because we're not Jews. Most of us aren't Jews, I don't think. So to have that background, you'd really have to be a Jew to understand kinsman redeemer. Ruth pictures in her relationship to Boaz that Boaz is the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. So, and that is connected to Israel, is connected to land. But Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Our inheritance is in heaven. New heaven and a new earth, and that's coming. So every book you ought to ask, what has God done for me through Christ? Temperance. This is growing, of course, in the likeness of Christ still. Willfully allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. Not emotionally driven, but faithful to trust God. I asked one of my buddies, got this big project going on, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Done about 6 weeks of work on it, waiting for the guy to sign the paper. And I said, where are you on the level 1 to 10 in trusting God? I'm getting close to 9, he said. I said, well, call me when you get to 10. Because 10 means you're all in. If you want me to have it, fine. And if you don't, I don't want it. This is trusting God. Amen? Think about it. That's really trusting God. And then, of course, temperance has something to do leading into the next fruit, and that's patience. Boy, give me patience and give it to me now, right? That's a problem. Patience is developed over time. Patience is spiritual strength given to endure the misunderstandings of others. I know whenever you talk with someone, they always understand what you're trying to communicate, right? You never have a problem. Everybody's so understanding of what you say and your voice inflection and everything. You never have a problem with anybody. No, it's just common that sometimes things are misunderstood, right? Oh, I thought you were mad at me. No, I was trying to get you to get out of the street so the car didn't hear you. That's why it hit you. That's why I yelled at you. I'm not mad at you. I love you. That's why I'm screaming. See? There's a difference. So, spiritual strength given to endure the misunderstanding of others, steadfastly looking to Christ in conflicts, and courage to face the challenges in life. Folks, that's all of us. That covers everybody today. You're in one of those, or maybe all three, I don't know, right now. So what do you need? You need strength for endure misunderstandings, steadfast looking to Christ in the conflict, or courage to face some new challenge in life. That's patience. These equal or result in godliness, a likeness to Christ. In other words, Christ exercised all those when he was walking on the earth. When these virtues are being developed in you by God or have matured in you in some degree, you will exercise them toward others. You know, God never allows us to learn anything just to keep it to ourselves. He always wants us to share it. Got an answer to prayer here, learning something there. You know, Apostle Paul never communicated to anyone that he had arrived spiritually. And I think he'd probably far advanced than we are. He never looked at life as though he had arrived. He always looked at it as though I'm pursuing a likeness to Christ. I got to come back to the cross all the time, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. What am I going to do from this point on in my life? You know, you got to do that. You have to decide that every day. Yesterday's over with. What am I going to do from right now? You think God can take me up right where I'm at and draw me to himself and use me for his glory? Every one of us, that's the case. So I give the Lord a praise for that. Sometimes we might think we're quitting on God, but God doesn't quit on us. I like that. When these virtues are being developed in you by God or have matured in you in some degree, you will exercise them toward others. When you exercise them toward others, you are displaying the glory of God. Brotherly kindness, being good to others, and love to give others the undeserved favor that Christ has given you. You see, when you mature in this first part, this excellence in character, growing knowledge of God through Christ, temperance, allowing the Holy Spirit to control you, patience, you're doing it over a long period of time, and these will result in what's called godliness. But when you exercise those things being developed in you with other people, it's called brotherly kindness and love. Anybody here like brotherly kindness? The word kind. Lord, help me to be kind. Love is kind. Has anybody here tonight arrived at so much kindness in their life they just can't stand any more of it? I don't think so. We all want that, don't we? So if we want it as believers, deep down in our heart, we enjoy kindness. Guess what? Other believers enjoy it too. Christ was kind, and he loved people. And by the way, those marginalized people in the society, he didn't let that bother him one bit. He talked to everyone. He went about doing good. Didn't matter if you were male, female, rich, poor, foreigner, grew up in Jerusalem. It was the same. So what's our meditation then for tonight and next several days? Well, let's look in the passage, and I want you to see it again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I started with the negative. They started with the positive. I like to start with a negative and end with a positive, but it's okay. You can look at, you know, if it's heads and tails, just flip the coin and you still can get both of them, right? In verse 4, it gives us the heads and tails of it. I started with the tails of it. The tails are good news when it's godly truth. And here it is. Christ saved me from the corruption of sin. He saved me from the corruption of sin. And the positive side, I want to partake of the excellent virtue in him. Christ saved me from the corruption of sin. I want to partake of the excellent virtue in him. And we just listed what they were. So verse 4 tells us that very thing. We look at the great and precious promises of God. By these, as we believe God's promises. By the way, why are they precious? Because he shed his blood to keep them. Oh, wow. He shed his blood to keep his word. That's character. Shed his blood to keep his word. That by these we might be, here's the positive, partakers of the divine nature, and here's the negative that we escaped. It's already happened. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is that dark side of us called the flesh. Love is the life of Jesus Christ coming through us. We escape the lust so that we might partake of the love. How about Rahab the harlot? When she married one of those two spies from the line of Judah, who ended up being in the line of the Messiah. Boaz's mother is Rahab. This is amazing. Just give you spiritual goosebumps. She no longer was a harlot when she married that man. She escaped the corruption in the world that was her lust. I guess the man was so overwhelmed that she hid him. When they went into Jericho to take over, as the Lord directed, that he married her. And the only reason why she's called Rahab the harlot is for identification. She didn't continue to be a harlot. She didn't continue to give herself the lust and make money out of men to support herself through her physical means that weren't appropriate. She married this man, and God puts her in the line of the Messiah. Can God change things, folks? Can God change us? Can God use us for the glory right where we are if we truly yield ourselves to him? The answer is yes, he can. In fact, he died to do it. I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin today and alive unto God. Through Christ. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have escaped the corruption that is in the world that Satan rules, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're not a slave to those things anymore. We were before we came to Christ, but Jesus is now our new master. And what a wonderful master he is, one that loves us and gave us eternal life. Enabling us to partake in love of a holy nature, building us up, transforming us every time we look into the Word and yield to the Spirit, wanting to become like Christ. Oh God, you've called us to it. Come on, come to me, come to me. You continually say that we might be changed into your moral excellence. That virtue. May we long for it. May we seek it. And may you alone fulfill that desire of our heart. Thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So what's your meditation? Christ saved me from the corruption of sin. I want to partake of the excellent virtue in him. Say it all day long.